This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. As Americans, we are heading into the Thanksgiving holiday season. This time of year, we stop to think about all that we're thankful for. In this message entitled Thanksgiving, Pastor Scott reminds us why we, as Christians, can struggle with thankfulness, as well as some keys to rediscovering thankfulness. This message was delivered on November 19th, 2017. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Well, good morning, New Hope. Are you thankful to be here?
Yes.
I mean, are you thankful to be here?
Yes.
I hope so. Yeah. Okay. Yesterday was Saturday, right?
Yes.
No men's ministry, right? I could sleep in, right?
Yes.
My wife. At 6:15, honey, your breakfast is ready. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I don't have men's ministry. I could at least sleep to 7. And then I was like, wait a minute. Shoot, my wife making me breakfast. Wow. I mean, I better be thankful because that doesn't happen too often. She makes other things well. But, you know, wow, I was like, 6:15, I mean, she must have got up really early because she had to make rice and, you know, cook. She made me bacon, sausage, and eggs, and like, wow. And from being like, what, it's 6:15, you got to be kidding me. I wanted to sleep a little while more. It's like Saturday, man. And then I thought, like, oh, shoot, I better be grateful because the breakfast was wonderful. Even though it took me like 10 or 15 minutes to realize that I need to be grateful. So the breakfast wasn't hot, but was kind of lukewarm, but it was still good. Oh, I mean, we got so much things to be thankful for. Thank you for this beautiful day, because now I smell better than what I normally smell like. Yeah, you know, all of you who laugh, you guys know, you guys hugged me after service, that's why. Yeah. But, oh, we got so, I mean, many things to be thankful for. Just the fact that, man, we stay in Hawaii. We are in Hawaii. I mean, you know, people pay thousands of dollars to come here to visit for a couple of days, see the beach, watch the sunrise, watch the sunset, go back home to some miserable cold place. Yeah, I mean, really? That's why they call it misery, yeah? Oh, it's Missouri. I'm sorry. But, man, we live here in Hawaii. It's like, wow. And sometimes I'm thinking, like, God, thank you for not calling me to live in some place landlocked like Nebraska or something, like where there's no ocean and no sea breeze. And even though it takes 5 hours to drive around this island and that's the farthest you can go, that's okay. It's all good. But, you know, today, we celebrate Thanksgiving and many other things, but other than God, because that should be first on our list all the time. Who is the next 5 people or things that you would be thankful for? And you can write that down in your bulletin. But you know, other than God, maybe like for me it would be my wife and my parents. You know, people like Pastor Alex who poured out into me. And things like that, and if you listed 5 people, that's great. If you listed 5 things, then well, I think you're materialistic. Come see me after service. I will relieve you of those 5 things, so that you can put 5 people. But just kidding, you know. But yeah, I'm thankful for things. I'm thankful that I get a car to drive, even if the car that I'm driving always gets me mad because the people in front of me. You know that. I just got to learn like Pastor Aaron, I do not have road rage. I do not have road rage. But, yeah, just think about those 5 people. And sometime during the next few days, you know, let those 5 people know that you are thankful for them. And sometimes you think, well, how? You know, all these people who loved me and poured out into me. And sometimes I think, how can I repay them? What can I do? Because, you know, I think it would mean a lot to them. And I think one of the things I try to do to those who raised me and mentored me. I try to stay out of trouble. Of course, this is now. Back when I was younger, man, I think my parents were kind of embarrassed to call me their son because I was always in trouble. You know, if it's not drunk and waking up on the side of the road, it's something else, you know? And I think it's like, oh my gosh, this is not my son. What happened? The first two turned out all right. I don't know what happened to the third one, man. We should have just stopped that too. And I try to behave well, and maybe now my mom might be a little bit more happy or proud of me because I'm on a different path, and I try to be good, you know. And I'm thankful for people like my wife. She prayed for me for many years. I'm thankful for people like Pastor Alex who invested in me. And if they did not pray for me, did not invest in me, then who knows, I probably would not even be here. Yeah. And like I said, Thanksgiving, and it comes once a year, but I think every day as Christians we should be thankful, amen? I mean, when you wake up in the morning, I know Johnny Mae is like, thank you, Lord. That's the first things out of her mouth. She tells me that every day when she comes into my office. Oh, how are you doing? Awesome. Every day she's awesome. Why? Because she's thankful. Yeah. And I'm thankful not for the stuff that make me happy, but also for the stuff that make us grow. You know, the junk stuff, like the trials. The Bible tells us we need to be thankful for that. And, you know, when you're in a trial, it's like, oh, it sucks. And how can I be thankful for this? But when we realize that the trials are making us grow, are making us stronger, and they build us up, and then when we look at not at what we're in, but what we're going to be when we come out, then we can be thankful because those things grow our faith. And the bottom line is we need to be thankful for this. Psalms 9:1, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all the marvelous things that you have done. Psalm 95:2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. And I was driving down the road one day, driving, and then somebody needed to merge in front of me. So like the nice guy I am, I let them merge. They merge in front of me, and no wave, thank you, no nothing. It's like, wow, fine then. Next time, I'm not going to let you cut in front of me just so you can drive 15 miles an hour. Oh. And, you know, it's like sometimes I let those people in, and I think, man, you guys, so ungrateful. You know when somebody lets me in, I am like shaka out the window, shaka in my mirror, and I say, thank you. Because I like, they don't have to let you in, but the nice guys will. Sometimes I'm not nice. Ask Grant. He knows. He was on the side of me one time, and I was like, then he had to pull in front of me so I could see his truck. Then I let him in. But he didn't slow down. He sped up, so. You know, when people let you in traffic, are you thankful? Or you just, like, keep driving? Or you're like, hey, thanks, sir. And even if they put up on the side of you, you wave to them, thank you. So sometimes, okay, sometimes, you know, why do you think we're not thankful? Why do you think, you know, like, we get one meal and we don't even pray, we don't even thank God? Or somebody lets us in traffic and, you know what, forget, I'm not going to thank them. I think because here it is. Number one, I think we have an entitlement. We're feeling entitled. Like, hey, they're supposed to let me in because it is every other car. Right? Hey, my parents, they're supposed to give me breakfast, lunch, and dinner because it's their job. Right? I mean, we get this feeling of you know, I'm entitled to somebody letting me in. I am entitled for my parents cooking me food. So I think sometimes that will prevent us from being thankful. I mean, you think about it. Think of things that you might think that you're entitled to, and are you really entitled to it? All right, think about it. People letting you in traffic, they don't have to. Are you feel like you're entitled to it? Matthew 20, 9 to 11. Jesus says this. The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those who came in who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. So let me explain something here. Okay, there was this guy who was hiring people to go work in his vineyard, right? He goes into town in the morning. Hey, why are you guys standing around? Why are you guys not working? Oh, nobody hired us. Well, go in my field and go work, and I'll pay you at the end of the day. Then he comes back into town later on. See some more guys standing around. This is the guys who won't sleep in. Hey, how come you're not working? Oh, well, nobody hired us. Then why you get up so late? No, he never said that. They go, well, go work in my field. I would pay you. And then 5 o'clock in the evening, he goes, then why are you guys standing around? Oh, nobody hired us. The guys were really sleeping. They was all hangover, that's why. They never like get up to 4 o'clock in the evening. So he said, go work in my field and I'll pay you. So when it came time for pay the guys, he called the guys he hired first. The guys who was all getting up and working, going work at 5 o'clock in the evening. They only worked for 1 hour. He gave them a whole day's pay. So the guys who went work early, all right, bro, we're gonna get more because we went work all day. But they got the same pay. I think they had on sense of entitlement there. If this guy went work 1 hour and he got 1 day's pay, but I went work 8 times as much as this guy, then I should get 8 times as much pay, right? Entitled. I'm entitled to it. I did the work, right? But they all got the same thing. Now, he was telling this parable not because of the money, but he was telling the parable because of people getting into heaven. They can receive Jesus at an early age. Some of you may be serving God all your life from when you was a small kid. Some of them receive Jesus on their deathbed, but they get entrance into heaven. Some of them receive Jesus when they were little. They think, oh, when I get to heaven, my reward's going to be really great because I was serving God all my life. Maybe you're feeling entitled. Maybe you better check how you get your rewards, because there is such thing as full rewards and partial rewards. So you might want to check on how you get the full rewards. So when you get to heaven, you're not entitled thinking that because I want to serve God all my life, I won't get more. But the bottom line is we're going to get to heaven as long as we receive Jesus Christ. Amen? So instead of like being thankful that they got to work and they got paid, they grumbled. They grumbled like, wow, this guy worked 1 hour and he got paid. They probably was thinking, tomorrow I won't get up late. How many of you would think like that? Tomorrow I'm going to get up late. I'm going to wait at 5 o'clock, then I'm going to work for 1 hour so I get a day's pay. Yeah, somebody. How many of you are thinking like that? Be honest. Only me. Yeah. So you gotta watch here. Sometimes when we feel like we're entitled, I'm entitled to a straight shot home with no traffic. Dream on. That never going to happen, unless it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. Then I go right into all the drunk guys. But yeah, sometimes that's why we're not thankful, because we feel entitled. Entitled to your favorite seat. And when somebody's sitting in your favorite seat, it's like, what is this, my seat, bro? I've been coming here 10 years. This is my seat. I'm entitled to this seat. I've been here longer than everybody else. Yeah, so maybe once in a while you should give up your seat so you kind of can quench the entitlement thing and just be thankful that you get to be in church. Amen? So how can we be thankful for him? Be humble. Man, being humble is a good thing. Philippians 2. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Wow. How many of you like, and someone of you elbowing your spouse right now, eh? You see? Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. I think I'm selfish. How many of you think I'm selfish? you guys right on. You guys are honest. I love you guys. I am selfish. Yeah, I. When I go fishing, I look for the best spot. I'm sorry, Al. Sorry, Johnny. I secretly hide away and I go find my best spot where all the fish stay. I'm selfish. Martin Luther said this, true humility does not know that it is humble. So true humility does not know that it is humble. So true humility, not to say, oh, I'm humble, I'm humble. I am so humble. Here, you go first. Yeah. If it did, it would be proud of the contemplation of it, of so fine a virtue. You know, it's hard to imagine that a person of humility would not know that they are humble. A person of humility would not know that they are humble. That they are humble. A humble person takes nothing for granted, but expresses by their thoughts and words thanksgiving for every breath, every bite, everything in their life. I mean, to be in a thoughtful, constant spirit of thankfulness to God and to those who are around you. Think about it. Can you be in a constant state of thankfulness for God and for those around you? Every moment, every day, everywhere you go, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You know, when you go to a grocery store, the cashiers tell you, oh, thank you so much, have a great day. But how many times do we tell them, thank you for bringing us up and, you know, for doing what they do? How many of you like to go in that line that says trainee? I love to go in those lines. And I tell them, thank you so much, you're doing such a great job. And you see their face, just like, you know, just like you told them they won the lottery. Because they're over there, they're struggling, and they're looking at the trainer. What is the code for this onion? What is the code for this cabbage? They hold up a pear and say, what is this? Never seen this before. And then when they finish, they say, thank you so much, you're doing a great job. You see their face, like, wow. And all I did was say, thank you. Try that. It's fun. It really is. Be humble. Sometimes we take things for granted in this life. But we shouldn't. We should be humble and understand that every single thing that we have, every breath that we take, it's only because God allows it to. And if he didn't allow it to, then we'd stop breathing and we know when it's our turn, we'll go to heaven. We shouldn't take things for granted, but we should be thankful. And number three, because the food is driving us nuts. It is. Look at what you have, not what you don't have. Because when I look at what I don't have and what my neighbors have, oh, thankfulness is out the door. When I look at Al's nice Tacoma that he wants to sell, I'm like, oh, that's a nice truck. And look at what I have, a truck that's 17 years old with almost 250,000 miles. Yeah, and I can be very, very ungrateful. But when I look at what I have, hey, my truck can go places where some of these cars cannot go. My truck can go places where some other trucks cannot go. And I am thankful. When I look at what I have, I am grateful. When I look at what I don't have, then I'm ungrateful. But look at what you have. Look at the beautiful clothes you're wearing. Look at the beautiful person next to you. Yeah? Look at that. If you could come up here and see all these beautiful smiles right there, man, you'd be so thankful. Hebrews 13:5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. I mean, we could be thankful for that one statement there. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Just those words alone, like, wow. Thank you, Lord. That's a promise. That's a promise from our Creator. Never will I leave you. Never. When is never? Never. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Philippians 4:11. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever the circumstance. I am in a season in life that I feel so content. I don't think I even have to go to Home Depot on Black Friday. I mean, whoa, what? Or Tokunaga's or Jeha. I'm content. I'm happy. I love my wife. I love my family. I dearly love the church. I love my 17-year-old truck that's so beautifully painted by Jaywin. Every time I get a dent, he says, I cannot let my pastor drive around with a dented truck. Especially because he put his sticker on my truck. It's his responsibility now. So you like your truck or car be nice, let him put his sticker right on top because that's his reputation. So tell him after service, I can't have one sticker. And then when you drive around with one dilapidated, oh, what's that word? Where I learned that word from? Truck, then or car. Then he was like, oh, I got to paint this truck because it's making my name look bad. Right? So be thankful. I mean, sometimes when tragedies happen, how can we be thankful for a tragedy? Well, we cannot be thankful for a church shooting or a shooting at a concert, but we can see what comes out. See, the news doesn't cover what comes out of it when people turn their lives over to Christ. But we can be thankful what comes out of it because more people are praying, more people are going to church because of these things. So we can be thankful. Thank God for your problems. You know why you got problems? Because you're alive. If you no more problems, that means you're dead. Pretty much. So the guy in the casket lying down. But I don't think he's worried about any problems. I don't think he's worried about his hair turning gray. I don't think he's worried about his mortgage being due or his car bill. If you no more problems, then you check your pulse. Because then that means you're dead. Seriously. We all have problems, and we be thankful because our problems cause us to grow. Sometimes our problems cause us to find Christ. Like me, oh, my problems were so bad that I had to find God in my problems. And if I never had problems, then I'd be far from God. And the last one, remember what Christ did for you. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Because what he did for us on the cross, he died so that we could have life. He died so that when we say yes to Jesus, we say yes to the kingdom and yes to heaven. Remember that. If anything else, you know, that is the one thing you'd be thankful for what Jesus Christ did on the cross for each and every one of us. You know, we come in upon Thanksgiving and in Christmas. We celebrate Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ. What a great time to share that with your family and friends by inviting them to receive that gift. And we're going to do a lot of that coming up after Thanksgiving, talking about the harvest, talking about Christmas. And it's a good time to bring your family and friends and to let them know that there is a great future and a hope for you in heaven. If you would just say yes to Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.